Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel first half 2018 results presentation investor call. The management Euskaltel will run you through the presentation that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can send your questions through the webcast platform at any time during the presentation. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Good morning to those joining from the U.S. and welcome to the presentation of our first half results of 2018. I'm Francisco Arteche, the CEO of Euskaltel, and I'm here together with our CFO, Jonander de las Fuentes, as well as Aitor Marcaida, our head of investor relations. Today, we will walk you through the key highlights of the quarter, after which I will go through our operating performance, and Jonander will summarize the financial results. Following those remarks, we'll host a Q&A session. So let me now start with a presentation on page 2. I would like to start highlighting that during the second quarter of this year, we have consolidated the improvements that we started to see in the first quarter. Please take also note that I will refer to pro forma data on this slide. The evolution of the residential fixed net adds in our traditional regions, that's the Basque Country, Galicia, and Asturias, has been more positive this quarter than the previous one, growing by more than 1,700 consumers versus 464 during Q1. On top, we have again this quarter been able to reduce churn in all our markets. The expansion plan that we announced at the time of our Investor Day last November is evolving in line with what we expected, with the opening of a second new store in the main city of Navarra in Pamplona, additional to the one that we already opened at the end of February. Up to date, we have more than 1,000 customers, which is aligned with our plan. Then with regards to B&B, revenue grew in the first 6 months of the year by 1.3%, once more in line with our expectations. The EBITDA margin in the quarter stood at 49%, growing 60 basis points versus last year. The margin in the first half reached 48.3%, growing by 26 basis points. All in, and despite the expected increase in CapEx related to our expansion and integration plans, we have been able to generate 58 million euros of free cash flow during the first 6 months of the year, and that represents almost 17% of the revenue. So if we turn to page 3, let me now summarize our main financial figures and KPIs in the first semester of the year. With regards to financial data, I will refer to statutory data in this slide, since the Telecable numbers were not included in our accounts until August 2017. For comparative purposes, we will refer to pro forma data during the remaining presentation. Then our total revenue grew by 25% in the first 6 months up to 349.3 million euros. Our EBITDA in the period reached 168 million euros, growing by 22.4 year on year and implying a margin of 48.3% as mentioned before. Our operating cash flow amounted to 100.8 million euros, standing at 28.9% of revenue. I think it's important to emphasize that if we were to consider the operating cash flow obtained from our underlying operations, that is, excluding our expansion plan, it should be highlighted that we stood at 31.3% of revenue. And then the net income grew in the period by 36.6%, up to 28.8 million euros. Looking at residential KPIs, as of June the 30th, these were the main figures. Fixed subscribers grew by more than 2,500 versus the previous quarter, consolidating the improvement seen during the first quarter of the year. At the same time, churn was reduced by more than 70 basis points, from 15.6% at the end of the previous quarter down to 14.9% at the end of June. The ARPU showed a slight deceleration versus Q1 of 33 euro cents to 60 euros. And finally, I would like to highlight the good evolution that RGUs demonstrated during the quarter, even better than the previous one, growing by more than 32,000 versus 25,000 of growth in Q1 2018, and therefore confirming a successful bundling and upselling strategy. Specifically, I would highlight the good performance of our fixed broadband customers that grew in the period at an annualized pace above 3%. So let's now move to slide number 5. And starting with the operating review, as I mentioned before, this quarter we have consolidated the positive trend that we started to see during the first quarter in our fixed residential customer base. And I think most important of all, this is not only thanks to the gross adds we're adding from the new regions we started to enter since March, but mainly from the net adds we're gaining in our traditional markets, which during this second quarter were positive in all three territories. On the next slide, the idea I would like to stress is that during this quarter, we have been able to reduce churn to the lowest level in the last 18 months, standing at 14.9% at the end of June. As mentioned in previous presentations, the different strategic initiatives put in place, along with the new business intelligence structure, are proving to be effective. Year on year, our ARPU remained flat despite two negative impacts in the semester. The first, as you may recall, at the end of August 2017, we eliminated the main match of the week from the football offer in Telecable, which meant a reduction in the ARPU of 40 cents of a euro. And then secondly, regulation regarding mobile termination rates impacting negatively the ARPU in this period by 20 cents of a euro. The tariff increases that we implemented during the first quarter of the year helped Telecom ARPU grow by 50 cents of a euro in the first 6 months, but they were not enough to offset the previous effects. Moving on to page 7, we show the results of our bundling and upselling strategy. Our 3P, 4P penetration remains in sector high levels with 69.3% of our subscribers on 3P and 4P bundles. As a result, we ended this quarter reaching all-time high penetration levels in every single product category. Broadband subs, as a percentage of total subs, grew during the second quarter to 85.7%. With regards to mobile, we added more than 18,000 lines in the quarter, the same amount we added in the previous quarter, to reach 952,000 lines, moving mobile penetration amongst our fixed subscriber base to 80%. In the case of the mobile, this quarter we have once more outperformed the expected growth in the year for the market, as we did in the first quarter, having reached an annualized growth rate that is close to 8%. TV penetration also increased during the quarter to 71%, growing TV RGUs by around 9,000 up to 408,000, more than the increase of 6,000 we had in the first quarter. Our advanced 4K Android set-top box launched during 2017 is definitely helping us make our TV offer much more attractive. The launch of Netflix, integrated in our set-top box, is evolving strongly, both in usage and satisfaction. We keep working on ways to enhance further the TV experience, and we hope to make new announcements in the coming months. On page 8, let me give a brief overview of the B2B segment evolution in the quarter. Starting with SOHO. As you can see in the top left chart, during this first quarter, there was a slowdown in the decline of net adds versus the previous quarter, remaining virtually flat. Regarding ARPU on the chart below, the situation was similar to what happened in the residential segment. All in, ARPU decreased 0.4% in the period to 68.1 euros. In SMEs and large accounts, we are clearly noticing the tailwinds resulting from our extended portfolio. As you can see in the chart of the right, during this second quarter, we have been able to consolidate the positive trend in customer evolution that we started to see last quarter. For the third quarter, we have high visibility in keeping on increasing our pipeline of new opportunities. On the next slide, we're happy to share with you that our expansion plan is also evolving successfully as expected. During this second quarter, we have broadened our presence in Navarra with the opening of our second store in the main city of the region, Pamplona. This way, we have reached the target we conveyed to the market of adding to our customer base 1,000 new customers coming from regions out of our current boundaries. During the second half of the year, we will continue with our expansion, opening new stores in Navarra that will enable us to reach more than 4,000 customers by the end of the year. We also continue assessing the best way to keep on expanding our footprint and our services, and we hope to make announcements in the coming months. Now, Jonander will detail the financial performance we had during the first semester. Jonander, please.
Thank you, Patxi. I will start the top-line evolution in the first half on page 11. On the left-hand chart, on a pro forma basis, our revenue in the period reached €349 million, representing a slight decrease of 0.8% year-over-year. Regarding residential revenue, we have included in this slide a bridge that explains the fall in revenues of 2.7% versus the same period last year. As we explained at the time of our first quarter results presentation, the main impact in this fall is a tougher comparison regarding the number of residential fixed customers due to the losses we experienced during 2017, hitting the top line negatively by more than €4 million. The confirmation of a change in trend this year, 2018, regarding net adds, is not yet enough to offset the decrease we have a year ago. Besides, and despite having increased the telecom fixed residential ARPU in the year, this was totally offset by the impacts mentioned before regarding the elimination of the match of the week from our football content in Telecable and the regulation on mobile termination rates. Excluding these two headwinds, the decrease in residential revenue would have softened to -1.9%. Mobile-only revenue decreased as a consequence of our current focus on increasing further our convergent mobile penetration. B2B revenue grew in the first half of the year by 1.3%, proving that the initiatives addressed to SMEs and the strategic alliance signed during the first quarter with Microsoft are helping us to become a better prepared player in the B2B arena. We recall that during the first quarter of the year, we had a positive impact of €4 million as a result of the signature of a relevant agreement with the Basque government for its digitalization. The scope of the contract reached the next 3 years, amounting to €12 million in revenue at a pace of €4 million per year. The corresponding revenue for 2018 was fully recognized during the first quarter. And finally, wholesale and other revenue grew mainly in the first 6 months from the recognition on our accounts of IFRS 15 impacting positively by €1.5 million in the first quarter. Moving on to slide 12, EBITDA performance was flattish in the year, decreasing slightly by €500,000 to €168.8 million, and on relative terms, the margin grew by circa 30 basis points year on year to 48.3%. During the first half, we were able to realize significant synergies and additional cost efficiencies as a result of the integration process we are going through, which meant a reduction in commercial and overhead of €5.6 million, or approximately 6% year over year. On direct costs, in the first half, were significantly impacted by €5.1 million we had in customer equipment cost, But if we were to eliminate this one-off effect, direct costs would have evolved positively by 2.3%. However, this positive evolution in the cost base was not enough to offset the tougher comparison in residential revenue explained previously. On page 13, you can find some charts that explain the evolution of our CAPEX. Total CAPEX in the first 6 months amounted 67.9 million euros or 19.5% of revenue, as expected, above the group's long-term guidance of 17% due to the expansion and integration plans we will develop during 2018 and 2019. CAPEX, excluding expansion investments during the first half, stood at 59.4 million euros or 17% of sales. Additionally, we incurred, as planned, in 8.5 million euros of CAPEX for our expansion plan and 4.2 million euros for our integration plan. Lastly, I would like to finish on page 14 referring to our cash generation in the first semester. Operating cash flow, calculated as EBITDA minus CAPEX in the period, amounted to 100.8 million euros, which represent a 28.9% margin over revenue. If we were to consider just our cash generation capacity excluding the expansion plan, the margin would have been 31.3%. Free cash flow for equity reached 16.6% of revenue in the first 6 months of the year. This figure includes a significant impact of non-recurrent items related to the last payments for Telecable acquisition process. Excluding these payments, free cash flow margin grew by more than 120 basis points to 18.5% of revenue versus last year. Additionally, according to our sustainable shareholder remuneration policy, we distributed a first dividend in February of 12.7 cents of euro per share or 22.7 million euros, thus leaving net debt EBITDA ratio at 4.46 times. A complementary dividend was paid last July 5th, amounting to 15.1 cents of euro per share and meaning 100% payout over 2017 net income of 49.6 million euros. All in, the dividend yield calculated over the volume weight share price in the first 6 months of 2017 reached 3.8%. Given the earning per share in the first 6 months grew by 16.1% to 16.1 euro cents, we are confident that in 2019, the dividend per share to be distributed will grow at double digit. And now I will give back the word again to Patxi to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you very much, Yonander. So, at the time of our first quarter results last May, I said that we had managed to stabilize our subscriber base and to recover growth in B2B revenue. That we had also successfully launched our expansion plan in Navarra, and that we were looking forward to keeping this momentum over the next quarters. I think the second quarter has been a clear confirmation of all these objectives. For the second half of the year, we reiterate that we will keep on increasing our residential customer base, both through new customers in our three traditional markets and also through expansion. We will keep on growing our B2B revenue since we are today a better prepared partner to help companies in their path to digital transformation. We are building a strong pipeline for the future quarters. We will continue developing the unification across the company at a quick pace in order to be more agile and more efficient. As a result, we will keep on materializing additional synergies into our operating results. And at the same time, we have to recognize that the comparison in residential revenue for the year 2018 is tough. Since last year, we had a relevant loss in our fixed customer base. But once we normalize the comparison year over year, residential revenues will come back to growth. Regarding cash generation, as we have stated several times, we are in the middle of our expansion and integration plans that will require an extraordinary effort in CapEx, bringing the ratio over sales for the year up to 22%. Nevertheless, we expect free cash flow for the year 2018 to be higher than last year. All this, combined with a strong focus on long-term sustainability and shareholder value generation, will make the core of the management focus. So thank you for your attention, and let's now switch to the Q&A.
Thank you, Mr. Artuche. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through the webcast platform. Questions by phone will be answered first. Please keep a maximum of 2 questions at a time. Thank you. We have a first question from Akhil Dattani, JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. The first is on the residential business, and I guess I just wanted to follow up on some of the points that you've made through the presentation. You mentioned that in Navarra, the momentum in H2 will be better than H1. You've said that the net adds in the existing footprint continues to grow. Can you maybe just give us some color around how you think about the ARPU trajectory through the rest of this year? And I guess what I'm trying to understand is that the Q2 ARPU dipped a little more than the Q1 performance. Do we think we've reached the bottom in terms of the ARPU performance? How do we think about that going forward? And I guess linked to that, you mentioned that the comparatives are tough this year, which obviously makes sense given the customer base trends last year. But are you broadly comfortable with where consensus expectations are when we think about this year and next? So that's the first question. And the second one was just, I guess, on the subject of cost cutting. You've elaborated quite a lot over recent calls and conferences around a lot of the interesting measures you're taking in terms of trying to identify additional cost-cutting opportunities. I just wondered if, firstly, there's any additional color that you are happy to share. And I guess in terms of more formally, is there a point at which we could expect some sort of update in terms of what this means financially? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the question. Let me take first the residential business. The answer is, yes, as you have seen, when you look at Q1 and Q2, even if we did talk about the competitive momentum and the strong competition, we have been able to prove that in the current footprint we are able to keep the quality of our positive net adds. I would say when I talk about quality of positive net adds, I would highlight probably that the people and the newcomers have a higher number of products. So there's more 4P and 3P than the ones that are quitting us. Secondly, I would say that the customers that are leaving are customers that have an ARPU that is below our average. So the good news is that the quality of the people that we're bringing in with these positive net adds is good quality people. And we do see that we will keep on with the same dynamic throughout the rest of the year. As I said, competition was strong. We've proven that even with a strong competition, our offer is sound, and some of the new developments in terms of our TV offering, the Wi-Fi focus, are proving to be working. Regarding expansion, we've reached the 1,000, and we're saying that we will probably be above the 4,000 that we did state at the time. Initial results in terms of our Q3 are proving that the momentum is sustained. So we remain optimistic about that. In due time, we're working on new projects. I think new projects will probably have a more significant impact in 2019. But we feel there is a strong moment around that. Regarding ARPU, year on year, the ARPU has remained flat despite two things that were going to be negative impacts. The first was the elimination of the match of the week, and as I mentioned, that has an impact of 40 cents of a euro, which is, I think, significant, than the mobile termination. At the same time, there's something you have to take into account, which is when we are growing and we're having positive net adds, and as we push forward our customer base recovery, you have to take into account that the new customers that are entering normally have lower ARPU than average. So over time, it's an ARPU that will grow and will be recovered. So, and then the other element you should take into account is that during this third quarter, we're implementing tariff increases in the three regions. Our initial feedback regarding the acceptance and the feedback we get from consumers is positive. It's certainly more positive than the ones we had in the past. So we've got a good feeling around that. We will have to follow the competitive intensity in the coming months. I think for the second half, what I would say is we expect at least ARPU to remain flat on H2 versus H1. Right? That's probably what I would put the guidance. Regarding the second element, the cross-cutting and what we call the simplification plan, you heard us that in the last 2 months, we've been making moves like the unification across the company of customer service, of customer support, back office, engineering in the enterprise space, or even provision. These things are proving to advance pretty quickly. Some of the elements that will define the relevance of when or the acceleration of cross-cutting is as new systems become implemented. I also shared that we had unification of systems. It's progressing on track to expectation. We should have, by October, November, the first of the three companies already in the new systems. That's going to trigger a number of efficiencies. We should have the second by the first quarter 2019, and we should be fully in the new systems by the end of next year. So this is going to trigger a gradual improvement in terms of the way we work and some of these efficiencies. We are already seeing some of them this year. I think you can expect an update later in the year, probably as we present the Q3 results, with more detail on what it means and what the impacts could be.
That's great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question is from Julio Arciniegas, RBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. The company has a target of B2C revenue stabilization. However, B2C declined 3% in the first half of the year. When should we expect this stabilization? It looks like it won't happen in 2018. And my second question is regarding broadband subscribers. They have actually grown quite strong. However, residential revenue continues to decline. But for example, versus previous quarter, you have more broadband subscribers. You mentioned that actually the new broadband subscribers, they are coming with more RGUs, but basically fixed voice RGUs or total RGUs, they haven't actually changed quite a lot. Can you give us some color of the competitive dynamics? Thank you.
Let me take the first one, and maybe you want to explain to me the second. I was a bit lost with the second question. You were asking about the progression, and I wasn't sure whether you were asking about mobile subscribers, broadband subscribers. Can you repeat the second part of the question?
Yeah, just if you can give us some color of basically how RGUs are progressing, because you mentioned that basically the broadband connections that you're having, they come with more RGUs. However, we don't see that translated into revenue. So if you can give us some color of what are the dynamics over there, what is happening?
Sure. Okay. So regarding the target, the B2C target, obviously, given the impact of the of the loss of subscribers last year, we are building up throughout the year, and we will be building up throughout the year the revenues on an increasing way every quarter in Q3 and Q4. It will only be, it will probably only be at the beginning of 2019 when we will start to see significant growth year over year in the B2C revenues. Regarding RGUs, so again, the quality of the people we're bringing in is higher than the average of the of the base we have, and the people that are leaving are below the ARPU that we have. Now, you have to take into account that the ARPU is a mix of several elements. We know that initially some of the newcomers will have lower ARPUs as they have normally like a 3 to a 6 month promotion. That's going to be building up in terms of ARPUs. We also know, we did mention that the telco ARPU grew 0.5 euros. The reality, if you dig a little bit deeper in there, the what we call the quota ARPU, in fact, increased by 1 euro. And if I add to that the fact that we're increasing now between 1 and 2 euros, depending on the different brands, the ARPUs, I feel like on the second half we should see a better progression than the one we have seen in the first half.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our next question is from Giovanni Montalsi, UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thanks for taking the question. A couple in terms of competitive evolution. How concerned are you about the announced launch of O2 by Telefonica that should be pushed in September with the back-to-school campaign? And in particular, obviously, for the double play offer. And second, what's going to be your strategy on football? I guess your decision will remain the same, so not to commit money to this investment. Do you expect any impact from the likely wave of promotions that we will see with the beginning of the football season? Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. So regarding the O2 brand, the reality is that we still need to understand what the positioning, the level of aggressivity, and certainly to which extent the brand is going to be focused on a double play or single play, whether it's going to compete more on the mobile and mobile-only space or mobile plus broadband. At this stage, I would say there's not a high, we do not have a high level of concern. I think we have seen other competitors launching similar offers, like MassMobil. We've seen that when you analyze the people we're losing, the part that we lose to this kind of offer is a minimal part or a low part. They tend to be, we are more focused on the high and higher value customers, and customers that have a convergent offer, including pay TV. So at this stage, I would say we're not expecting a significant turnaround or change around the market dynamics. Now, having said that, we still need to understand better what the final offers are going to be, what the investments are going to be, and what it really means at the end of the day. Regarding the other question, which is the strategy regarding football, what I would say is, as always, we want to offer to us, our customers, all as many services and as much content as we can. So we would love to be able to offer football. Now, Having said that, we saw at the time in Euskaltel and R-Cable and R-Cable that it didn't make sense given the cost, it didn't make sense to be including football the way it was playing today. We remain committed to that in the sense that we will not offer in R or Euskaltel the broad or the First Liga, the Champions, the Partidazo. Now, we remain open to more tactical opportunities like the one we saw in Navarra where we're offering second division. So we could potentially see if there are certain elements around this kind of content that we can leverage that are meaningful to some of the local businesses. Regarding Telecable, and given the legacy, because Telecable was offering football, we will continue to offer the contract that is still in place for the Liga. There's a discussion right now about champions and whether we offer or we do not offer champion. We have to make up our mind in the coming weeks. We'll make the best decision regarding the balance between what's the potential churn and what's the improvement in terms of EBITDA and the P&L for the company. So I think it's one decision we need to make. And then thirdly, what I would say is we need to keep an eye on the current situation regarding football. There's been a number of changes with the different players regarding some of the changes in the offers they're making. This could potentially represent a competitive opportunity for us. It's too early to say how that translates, but we'll be watching closely the dynamics in the market regarding our competitors and what are the football offers.
Thank you, Bashir. Sorry, if I may, on the, let's say, how do you plan to tackle the wave of promotions, likely promotions that we will see at the beginning of the football season? Telefonica already yesterday in the conference call indicated that they will start attacking the football subscribers of other operators that have decided not to renew the rights. So commercial activity is going to be intense. Do you expect an impact from this? Thank you.
Yeah, you know, every back to school, every August and every September is probably the peak season in terms of aggressivity regarding football. We see that and we have seen that in the past. So the moment in the year where there's a few hundred people that we lose to football is always at the beginning of the season. I think that aggressivity on football should not impact us in a more significant way than what it did in previous years. I don't know what will be the price for football. So if the price by any chance increases, that's probably not going to be, that's going to be probably less aggressive in our case. I assume and I understand that the competitors that were offering football might be the ones that will be suffering more from that aggressivity. In our case, the only area where we're offering right now is Asturias. So depending on what the decision is regarding champions, we'll put in place other elements that should be able to compensate and reinforce our efforts during the month of August and September.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Our next question is from Fernando Cordero, Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for taking my three questions. The first one is a follow-up on the previous one from my colleague on the football rights, on the football content. In that sense, I would like to know if, given your probably better sight on the market movement, if you foresee any independent OTT platform, including all the premium football content available in the market. And in that sense, I'm trying to understand your comments on the monetization of the market situation, because there could be some opportunities arising from the current food situation. Does it mean that you could be following to reach or to attack the Vodafone customer base in your areas? And in that sense, do you have any kind of insight of what is the volume of customers that Vodafone, football customers that Vodafone has in your three core territories? The second question is, at some extent related, I would like to know what is the current penetration of your new 4K set-top box, and what are your first readings from the Netflix agreement, at which extent this is already impacting on churn, on the, how can I say, even in net ads and so on. And the last question, you said that this year you are guiding to 22% CapEx over sales in 2018. Does it mean that you are going to accelerate a bit the network expansion in the three core territories? That is the plan, including the 80,000 new homes passed in infill projects that you have guided into the Investor Day. Thank you.
Okay, let me take the four questions that you have made. OTT content. Listen, OTT. So OTT was already existing this year, and in fact, our customers could leverage the existing OTT, Bein Sports, if they had an Android device, because the new set-top box, the 4K set-top box, by default is also a Chromecast device. So you could potentially use your tablet or your mobile phone and broadcast the image through the set-top box to the TV. And I think a number of our current customers are doing that. If we, regarding the evolution of that offer, it's still to be seen if there is going to be one, if there's going to be two, or who is going to be offering OTT content. I think OTT will be a good option for our customers that are keen to watch football and can use that through the Chromecast functioning through to the set-top box. I would not expect OTTs to become integrated in set-top boxes in the way that Netflix is integrated today. So I think this will be more a separate play that customers and consumers will be able to contract directly with the OTT players, and potentially the experience through and projecting to the set-top box can be something that happens. But I'm not expecting, to answer your question, like a direct link between us and any OTT supplier. That's regarding the OTT space. Obviously, if you ask my opinion, I think OTT is a good option, and it's an interesting option for us, because it allows our customers to be able to have football whilst benefiting from all the advantages of our system. Regarding the monitoring of the market, I think we need to see where market is evolving, but you are raising one interesting point, which is we used to talk about strong competition. I always said in the past that the main competitor for us was Vodafone. I did mention that there was a certain dynamic in the market that I didn't consider healthy, of high churn and people moving from, like, recurrently moving from one operator to the other. I think that is bad for the customers because it's confusing. I think that's also bad for the operators because it might remove money from other investments to fight in this sense. So hopefully the dynamics become more logical. If that specific competitor, Vodafone, stops offering football, there's one, let's say, one advantage less they might have. Do we have plans today to go aggressively? No. But potentially that could mean that we could benefit from that move. That's correct. And then regarding the 4K set-top box, we have more than 50,000. We have more than 50,000 people already on the new set-top box, so we have a significant amount of knowledge and data in terms of the experience. We have plans to accelerate as much as we can the deployment of the 4K set-top box. Some of the things that I would say is the level of satisfaction is high. The level of interactive usage of TV is also high. These are things that tend to help improve the churn. Given that it's been slightly more or less 1 year since we launched, it's still a little bit early to really have a deep assessment of how much churn is diminished with this set-top box, but we sense that it's going to help us in that direction. Regarding Netflix, there are no specific numbers that we will share now. We'll probably work with Netflix on an agreement, on an agreed statement to bring more information about that. But I can say that the levels of adoption are high, that the levels of satisfaction of the service is high. We are accelerating one thing, and Netflix is helping us a lot to accelerate the operator billing. You know that we said that by the end of this year we would include the billing through the Euskaltel group. That is going to happen before the end of the year, and it's going on a good rhythm. So progress is good regarding, and we feel happy regarding the Netflix experience. Oh, sorry, and there was a fourth question. I think Yolanda's going to take this one.
Yeah, Fernando, but related to the CapEx, and trying to reiterate and remember our messages during the Investor Day, we said that during the 2018, we will stay above the guided recurrent level of 16-17% of revenue, and we expected 22% for this year and 20% for next year. We reiterated those guidance. We obviously are now deploying the expansion CapEx and the integration CapEx. As you can remember, we said that the expansion CapEx will be close to 20 million euros, excluding SAC, and during this first half, we have incurred in 8.5 million euros. And related to the integration and special projects, will be in a range between 20 and 25 million euros during those next 2 years, and we have incurred 4.2 million in this first half. We reiterate those levels of CapEx for this year and the next one. And related to the evolution of the infill expansion, we are on track. It's true that we have some delay in specifically in Galicia starting the some of the deployment, but we are now deploying at the level that we expected. It's true that we have some delays to commercialize in some areas, above all in the industrial parks, because we were deploying new projects based on IP solutions. But in that moment, we are really on track on that, and we expect to cover this infill expansion without any additional delay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Nuno Matias, Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the questions. My first one is going back to the Vodafone issue and trying to look at it in a different way. Vodafone seems to be taking a different direction, okay? So they are not willing to pay for football, and with that, obviously, they will save a significant amount of money. So I was wondering, how concerned are you that they will revert these savings on football to eventually some more aggressive promotions, namely in your areas, to defend their customers, in something that could like result in a situation like you had in Galicia, where you were subject to some customer losses. So just trying to understand what's your perception of Vodafone's positioning going forward. And the second one is going back to the football issue on Teletower. It's just like if you could quantify how many customers have you have lost since you decided not to have Partidazo in the grid. Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. Regarding Vodafone, again, it's hard for me, to be honest, it's hard for me to answer what Vodafone is going to do. I think I would love to know what they're going to do, but maybe we should ask them. Am I concerned? Potentially, yes, but I think when I look at the level of aggressivity of the promotions that are already impacting or calling our customer base or have been for the last year, I would say I'm not sure there's more level of aggressivity that remains in there. So there's been a lot of coverage of our base with a 15% discount during 12 months, I would say almost all our base, and we have seen the results. Potentially that could happen. We'll make sure that we respond in the right way, which is making sure that we are able to differentiate and have unique offers in terms of the quality of the product, in terms of the Wi-Fi experience, in terms of the TV experience. And we've seen that our customers tend to be have a high level of loyalty. And we see that our customers have been valuing that proximity. So that's how we will approach. We will obviously watch closely and respond if competition gets harder. I also would make a call that this level of aggressivity is probably something that the analyst and investor community does not appreciate in the reality of the Spanish telecom or telco market today. So I think there should be a reflection in the industry around whether these aggressive promotions that generate a lot of churners, so to say, really benefit the people moving from one to another company. I think that's a confusing experience. It also removes money that should be invested in infrastructure and improving the service. So I think as an industry, we should have a reflection whether that's the right path to go. We will try to avoid it as much as we can. Regarding Telecable, when the removal of El Partidazo implied that we lost around 2,000 people. So I think because the question was raised or the topic was raised, I think if we were at some point not to have the champions, probably the impact would be a similar number to that. Or less, depending on the actions we put in place.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have no other questions for the moment.
Okay, so just I would finally want to thank you again for the attention this afternoon. As always, we'll keep working to remain and keeping our leadership in our traditional markets. We want and we're becoming a relevant player in the new regions we are entering. But it is important to say that we'll do all this without losing the focus on our main goals, which is keeping a solid cash generation to maximize the value we're offering to our shareholders. So thank you very much again, and I wish you all a great summer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's web conference. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.